You want a real mystery? Try getting inside the mind of an animal. And no creature is more mysterious and amazing than the octopus. Science writer Cy Montgomery discovered this herself.
They're so different from us. They can taste with their skin. They have no bones. They can squeeze through a tiny opening, oozing almost like they are liquid themselves. A 100-pound giant Pacific octopus can get through an opening the size of an orange. I mean, unbelievable. But what I think is even more unbelievable is the fact that these guys have developed intelligence and emotions and personalities that are enough like ours that we can recognize them as such.
So how do you approach an octopus? Because it doesn't seem to have any avenue to communicate.
Well, I had the opportunity to meet three octopuses because very generously the New England Aquarium has given me access to them and will open the top of the tank and let me plunge my arms into the 47-degree water and touch them and let them touch, and interestingly, taste me.
In fact, you've written about the first encounter you had with an octopus we called Athena.
Yes, and we got on absolutely great the first time we met. She looked me in the eye. I plunged my arms into the water. Hers started boiling up out of the water. She immediately attached her suckers to me. Each of her eight arms has about 200 suckers, and each one of those suckers can not just feel exquisitely, but they taste you. So she knows me in a way that no one else has ever known me before.
That has to have been just a little bit odd, wasn't it? I mean, you knew, of course, what you were going into, but...
You know, I wrote that it felt like the kiss of an alien. Did she like me? Well, I guess so. It's hard to imagine what she experienced. But the thing is, if an octopus doesn't like you, you know about it. They show this in several ways, and they're unmistakable. One is they won't come near you. Or it's well known that octopuses who dislike you will aim their funnel at you and shoot water at you. And they have excellent aim with their funnels. There was an octopus named Truman who lived at the New England Aquarium. And he was a pretty easygoing octopus, but there was this one woman that he just could not stand. And she was a nice woman. She worked there all summer, and every time Truman saw her, he aimed his funnel and he blasted her, and she was soaking wet with salt water all the rest of the day. And interestingly, she went away to college and then came back for a visit. Meanwhile, Truman had not soaked anyone. But when he set eyes on her again, blam, he blasted her again. So he remembered her and just didn't like her.
We've talked about their interaction with you. I'm curious, before we come back to that, what you know about their interaction with each other. Do we know much about octopus culture, if you will, octopus society?
They're not that easy to study, and there's not a huge amount of money to do these studies. But what we know suggests that they're not particularly social and that their interactions tend to be kind of limited to chasing each other away, mating, or eating each other. And that begs the question, what's this intelligence that they have for? Because when we look at intelligent species who we know, animals like elephants or chimpanzees or whales, and they are long-lived, highly social species, as are we. But here is an animal who doesn't live very long. Alas, the giant Pacific will only live about 3 years. And they don't appear to be very social with other octopuses. So what do they do with their intelligence? Interestingly, they play. And play is one of those things that we tend to associate with higher thought, right? At the New England Aquarium, my friend Wilson Menashe designed a series of locking boxes, which are plexiglass, and the octopus enjoys unlocking the different locks to get to a crab inside. Other aquaria use those kinds of balls that you can screw them together. Sometimes you put hamsters in them so your hamster can run all over the house. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, they'll unscrew it to get to the crab inside, but just for yucks, they'll screw it back together.
What about their brains? Is there a similarity between their brains and ours?
the difference in their brains is what excites me. I mean, their brain's probably about the size of a walnut, which is as big as an African gray parrot's. And you might think, oh, bird brain. But I've known an African gray parrot who could speak 100 words meaningfully as well as do math. So size doesn't really matter. But what strikes me so much about the octopus brain is that 3/5 of their neurons are not in the brain at all. They're in the arms. Dr. Godfrey Smith, a professor of philosophy in New York, has said it's as if each arm has a mind of its own. And octopuses can regrow their arms if through some accident an arm becomes severed. That arm will go off and search for prey on its own and find it. And then start passing the prey item back toward where the mouth ought to be, but no longer is anymore, in the center of the 8 arms. I mean, can you imagine that kind of diffuse consciousness? I mean, maybe it's like multiple personality. If consciousness means the self and your neurons are more in your arms than in your head, does that mean you have multiple selves? What does that mean? But this is their reality. And animals are constantly leading us to recognize other realities that are just as real as ours. Birds and insects can see polarized light. Animals like whales and elephants can hear infrasound, which we cannot. But we know it is real. It is a real part of our world.
It's one thing to know that a bird can see things we can't, that a whale can hear things we can't. Those don't seem so startling. But to see an octopus feel and interact physically in so many different ways seems more alien to us, don't you think?
Yeah, it really does. And boy, having your arms immobilized by thousands of suckers, it's just an amazing interaction. You're just not going to have that with anybody else but an octopus. And realizing that each one of those suckers is tasting you, experiencing you in a way that no one else ever will.
Cy Montgomery wrote about the mind of the octopus in Orion magazine. You'll find a link to her article on our website at ttbook.org/meetyourmind.
Octopus, he's a friend to you and me.
Oh, the octopus, we love him.
Octopus, octopus, squiggling through the water. Octopus, octopus, gulp, gulp, gulp.
Sometimes she travels with jet-like propulsion through the drink. And sometimes she vanishes too fast to use the word slink.
I'd ask my friends to come and see. An octopus has gotten with me.
Love you. Octopus, I love you.
Want to hear more about the science of consciousness? You'll find transcripts and lots of interviews on our website at ttbook.org/meetyourmind. For To the Best of Our Knowledge, I'm Jim Fleming. This hour, Mind and Brain, is part of our special series, Meet Your Mind, a user's guide to the science of consciousness, brought to you by Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.